my name is Marnin. You've just been listening to my theremin, but now you're listening to Nutty Bites.
Hello, Mixed Nutcases. It is I, Nutchas, here with another nutty debate. With me today, I've got, of course, the live-in guest, Tech.
Hi, I'm not wearing pants.
Yes, you are. And we've got people from the other side of the pond on, so when you say you're not wearing pants, it sounds very different.
Not wearing those pants either.
Hey, PG podcast. Okay.
Commando.
We are going to discuss favorite villains, and as people voice their opinions, please introduce yourself, because we have a gazillion people on the call right now. favorite villains, and I'm just going to do a quick round robin around the room and have people come up with just a villain to mention. I do know that we did have a question of what constitutes a villain, and I think that's a decision everyone has to make themselves, yes? Yes. Okay, so who should we start with, Tech?
I get the name one off the bat. Siegfried from Get Smart, greatest villain ever.
I knew you were going to say that. You say Siegfried for everything.
He's fantastic. Come on.
And the reasons he's your favorite?
In order for me to consider a villain has to be convinced what he's doing is right. Whether by dementia or by different social values or moral values, he has to believe what he's doing is the right choice. Just a guy saying, I'm evil, doesn't count. And Siegfried's just he's Chaos's, public relations director. He's involved in a union. He just has a job. His job happens to be to kill Maxwell Schmatt, but other than that, it's just a job. And I mean, come on, it's Bernie Coppell. It's the doctor from The Love Boat being a bad guy. How could you not like this character?
I was just going to add that part. Great. Okay, so now I'm just going to pick at random, and I think I'm just going to use the order, so it might be an alphabetical. FaZe, who is your favorite villain?
If I'm on, I was muted. Controversial choice, but Captain Malcolm Reynolds. From the Alliance perspective, he is a villain. He's convinced what he's doing is right, so I can use Tech's arguments. But he steals. He kills. He's rebelling and... Have I fallen out again? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. He's rebelling. I think the Browncoats are going to come and lynch you.
From the Alliance perspective, rebelling against the duly appointed authority, he is a villain. I mean, one man's villain is another man's terrorist. It really depends upon your perspective. As far as the majority of the population is concerned, Malcolm is a villain. Now, he happens to be on the side that he sees as right, but he's in a minority. So I'm going with Malcolm, and there's my justification. I think I'll leave it with that. Luckily, I'm 3,500 miles away from most of you, so, you know, you can try and lynch me, but it'll take you a while to get here.
Shane's not that far from you.
Yes, but Shane just knows where I live.
I would say more outlaw, not villain. There's a difference, a big difference. Yes, he's an outlaw. He breaks the law, but does that make him a villain?
Depends on perspective. If you're looking at it from the Alliance side, then yeah, he is a villain.
I think even from the Alliance side, he's an outlaw.
And speaking right now is?
Sorry, Kaylin.
Hi, Kay.
Hi, Kay. We've heard her before in our Harry Potter debate.
Hey guys, this is Dave, Dave Robinson. I wanted to jump in and say, but from the story perspective, Malcolm Reynolds is definitely not the villain. And, you know, if we're gonna take the stand of multiple perspectives, and then every hero of every book is the villain from the villain's perspective. I think we have to look at it from the perspective of the story that's being told, and who, you know, are we talking protagonist and antagonist, or are we going to actually put ourselves in the world that the story is being told in and choose perspectives and sides to look at it from?
If I might be allowed to retort.
Certainly.
If I'm going to be forced to pick an out-and-out villain, then if I can have Malcolm, then I'm going with Scorpius. Because I like Scorpius.
And why?
He's just fun. Sorry?
What's he from?
It's Scorpius. You know, half Sebastian, half...
Farscape, of course.
I thought you of all people would know Farscape.
Next person I'm going to call on is Chris Moody.
I'd have to say my favorite villains would be a toss between the Borg and the Q.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both very good choice.
Although it is debatable if the Q are villains, but yeah. Yeah. What did we come up with last night that we'd really like to see a scene between the Doctor and Q?
I will counter one thing here.
Yes.
Q cannot be a villain because, in my eyes, because he really just wanted to see Worf smile. He wanted to bring joy to the crew. That's not evil. It's just misguided.
Again, another chaotic figure.
Of which he also made Data laugh.
Yes.
I would say that Q, having godlike powers, would be beyond mere standard sort of notifications of villainy, because they're so much more above your standard sort of third age. They don't have it. They could be. Are they evil? Hmm. So I think they have their own morality, which mere humans and other equivalent races cannot understand. They are the equivalent of, I suppose, to bring in my own favorite perspective, the Shadows and the Vorlons. They don't see themselves as villains. They're just so far above us, we're like ants and about as noticeable.
It's the same thing with Lovecraft and the old ones. I mean, are they necessarily evil? No, they just really don't care. They are well above and beyond everything.
They're antagonists, but they're not necessarily villains.
No.
But they do count for favorite villains. And one thing I want to say about the Borg, which is an awesome villain, is they are Star Trek's version of zombies. They are. If they get too close to you, they'll turn you into one of them. They
shamble.
Of their own. They shamble. They are a hive mind, all for the goal of turning others into them.
Well, the difference between your Borg and your run-of-the-mill zombies is your Borg have a queen. There is direction there. There is choice that can be made.
Good point.
And there really isn't a leader in terms of your general, you know, shambling dead.
In defense of the Borg, the queen is the biggest abomination they ever did to the canon of the Borg. I would love nothing more than to give myself like a mind wipe and forget that that movie and the rest of those stories ever existed. The Queen was a dumb plot point. Sorry, you may carry on with your debate.
But she was hot.
That aside, just...
No, really, Tech, tell us what you really think, man. Don't hold back.
We'll save that for another debate. It'll just be Tech rants for 45 minutes about why the Borg are better.
The difference between the Borg and the zombie thing is the Borg is reversible. Zombification, as far as we know, in any canon I've read, is not. Once you're dead, you're dead.
True.
You can be unborged.
But only if you are played by somebody with a full-time salary, or the very rare guest episode.
Or you look good in a cat suit.
Looking good in a cat suit does help your survival chance. Both Patrick Stewart and, what the heck's the actress's name?
Oh, God, no, don't.
Jerry Ryan.
Yeah, Jerry Ryan, that's it. Both Jerry Ryan and Patrick Stewart look good in cat suits.
I have to add, though, what about the second Weekend at Bernie's? Didn't they reverse the voodoo spell that made him a zombie?
I don't know. Like X-Men 3, I like to pretend that movie didn't happen.
Okay, so moving on, I'm now going to ask Dave Robeson, who is your favorite villain?
My favorite villain, I'm afraid I'm going to dodge out of fandom here for a second and go with the Marquis de Mertuis from Dangerous Liaisons, Glenn Close's character. I loved her as a villain just because she was so deliciously manipulative and played everybody in her circle like a mistress puppeteer. And Glenn Close did a fabulous job in the movie, but also in the book. Oh God, villainy personified, not in the context of wanting to rule the world, but to rule her world. And the collateral damage that she inflicted along the way was just delicious. Poetry.
Do you hear that, Mixnuts? Glenn Close, greater than Sarah Michelle Gellar. Just saying. Sold the character. Sarah Michelle Gellar, I'm sorry, I like her, she's a great actress, but same role, not even close.
I'm sorry, Glenn Close is the queen of that, absolutely.
Well, Glenn Close is a fantastic actress, and she happened to have a really great role. I mean, that character is, you know, if everyone could write a villain like that, it would be amazing.
Oh my, yes. Without I couldn't agree more. Yes.
So now I'm going to, I don't know if we're going to be able to hang on to Bob. No, we can't. Never mind. Bob's coming in and out. Bob. I keep trying to get him, but he pops out. I'm going to ask Kay. Kay, who is your favorite villain?
Well, I kind of have to go with my first villain. The villain that was in the movie that first exposed me to all other great sci-fi fantasy movies, and that would be the Lord of Darkness from Legend.
Oh. Ooh, yeah.
He just, for me, personifies evil and just, well, I mean, he's the Lord of Darkness. He doesn't have a name. That's his name. And
he's played,
and
by,
he's
Tim
played
Curry.
By Tim Curry. I mean, I can't do much better than that. It was just deliciously evil. And so that's my pick.
You disgust me. You're nothing but an animal.
We are all animals, my lady.
Wasn't Tim the only human in that?
Well, no. Technically, if you don't think Tom Cruise is a human.
Oh, that never movie have. Legend. Yes.
I don't think Tom Cruise thinks Tom Cruise is a human anymore.
That is quite possibly true.
There might need to be some censorship beeps if I'm being made to discuss Legend.
Tech saw Legend for the first time this past year. Now, granted, we did watch the director's cut, so it was a bit drawn out. He's not as much a fan of it as I am.
A bit drawn out. I'd rather watch the first Star Trek again in slow-mo than watch Legend again.
Oh.
Can I the thing about
19 minutes of V'ger going, was 1,000 times more entertaining than that.
The thing about Legend, it's like many, many childhood movies and stories. When you watch them through a child's eyes, they have a much different impact. And
sure
for me, that
context.
Was the biggest impact, is that it really brought me to a whole genre. And that's a lot bigger than all the other faults it has.
I still loved it as a kid. So.
I really could see, though, that had I watched it as a kid in my developing movie phase, I probably would have a very different reaction to it than I did watching it, you know, a couple months ago.
Okay, so who is next on the list? Let's see, can we get Bob? Bob, are you here?
Hi, Bob.
Hi, is my mic working?
Yes, it is. Can you tell us your favorite villain is before we lose you?
Sure. In the thread, I had picked Spike from Buffy. And the thread wasn't even so much what is your favorite villain, but who would you like to hang out with among the villains? And a lot of my favorite villains, like, say, the Daleks, I wouldn't really want to hang out with. Don't think it would be too much fun time. But Spike really enjoyed life. He enjoyed women. He enjoyed food, you know, flowering onion. He enjoyed, he was a Ramones fan. He liked Manchester United. You know, I think Spike would be a blast to hang out with, at least while he was a villain. And I also agree with everything Tech said up front that, you know, the best villains really have to believe in what they're doing. It's not, I'm going to destroy the world. You know, that I find pretty uninteresting. And even among non-villains, like, I like characters that have real-world problems. You know, as a kid, my favorite superhero was always Spider-Man because he had money issues, he had a lousy job, he had an idiot boss, he had girlfriend problems. That, to me, was always more interesting than the Superman type where your life was perfect. And I think a lot of Joss Whedon villains are like that. Spike is like that. Dr. Horrible is like that. And I always enjoy that kind of villain more.
That is excellent. That is an excellent villain choice. I will agree with you. The thing that is interesting, because you mentioned Spike is more interesting because he doesn't want to destroy the world. Spike actually mentions that in an episode of Buffy, which I can talk about because the potential cast has gone through there. You know, he says something along the lines of, a lot of vampires are like, oh, I'm going to end the world, but it's just tough guy talk, whereas Angelus was actually going to do it. And that just kind of shows Spike's view on the world. It's like, yeah, I don't really want to end the world. I just want to have violence and fun and And I do think my follow-up to all of this will be, if you took your villain out of his setting, would he still be a villain, or he or she be a villain in another setting? And I think that Spike would be a villain no matter where he is.
Unless censorship is good.
Spoilers!
It was on 10 years ago.
Yes, but there is something a podcast going on right now that they're only up to, they just finished season 4 and they've never seen anything.
We can post over there and tell them not to listen.
Yes, don't listen. FaZe ruins it for you.
Hey, I'm not Evo Terra, okay?
Oh, that was bad. That was very bad.
We drove up to Phoenix. For those of you in America, can I say, can I put in the sun as the bonus villain? Because 109 Fahrenheit with 90% humidity is not a liberal temperature.
Okay, yes. The sun in Phoenix is the best villain ever.
Well, it's normally drier, but I had a friend get married in Phoenix in August, and it was 115 then.
Okay.
Do I need to bring up calf stories?
No. Let's move on.
I've been to other deserts. Yes, the sun sucks.
Yes. So I'm going to ask Shane. Shane, who is your favorite villain?
I was going to say the Master from Doctor Who.
That is an excellent villain. And he spans many series of Doctor Who in different incarnations. And I will say that I really enjoyed the latest incarnation of the Master. That whole story arc was just amazing. I don't want to spoil anything, but yes, the Master is another Time Lord. And whereas the Doctor runs around trying to have fun, the Master runs around trying to dominate everything and be its master. Definitely.
He's like the Moriarty of Doctor Who.
Yes, definitely the Moriarty.
Well, there goes my choice.
Moriarty or the Master?
Well, Moriarty, no. Oh.
Yeah, also, you also can't pick yourself, so you can scratch that one off the list, because I know that's your number two choice.
That would be the serial killer speaking there, by the way.
I don't think I'm evil at all.
Most villains don't.
We did. That was point one, dude.
Well, there you go. Then I am great.
All right. So aside from yourself.
I'm not evil. You're just all weak and need to be dominated.
So, yes.
Aside from yourself, who is your favorite villain, Zero Killer?
Okay. Well, up until movies got into the picture and ruined things, first by making him into a brain-dead thug and then making him sound like an auto-tuned Deckard Cain, I would have said Bane from the Batman mythology, but I think I'm going to actually go with a classic and no, not Moriarty, although the new BBC series, I love their take on Moriarty for it, and Moriarty is one of the quintessential villains of all of literature and film. I'm going to have to go with Hannibal Lecter, though. Mm.
Good choice.
Yes. Absolutely dark and twisted, like I like my...
Oh, we lost it.
No, we lost you. You're like mouth reading. Or mouth
reading. He's frozen. He's frozen.
Oh.
Does Deadpool count as a villain? Deadpool counts as awesome.
Yes.
I want the game. I want that game. When is it out? I've seen the trailer and I just fell in love with it instantly.
I don't know.
There's a Deadpool game?
There's a Deadpool game and it has the voices and they're appropriate from the sort of zombie head trip era.
Ooh. I think I may have blanked out because I missed Deadpool being mentioned at all and my screen had frozen for a few seconds.
Yeah, you were it was in the chat. Well, you were about to say that you like your villains like you like your...
I said I like my villains dark and twisted because I don't like coffee, so it couldn't, that metaphor wouldn't work. But no, that would be similar. Yeah, whatever. No, I like my villains dark and twisted.
Oh, that works for your Dr. Pepper with pixie sticks, dark and twisted.
Yeah, that. I haven't done that in so long. But no, it's Hannibal Lecter has got that very dark and twisted kind of thing, and yet he almost can be cast as a hero in certain lights because he does genuinely help in the first movie he's presented in to track the mind of a serial killer, but he's doing it for his own insidious goals. He's doing it to try and pervert Clarice and bring her to that twisted mentality. So it's a very deep psychological character, and I absolutely love every single moment of that the character being around in the first movie.
I second that, and he's even better in the book. Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies, and when I read the book, thankfully I read it afterwards, it was even better. I highly recommend anybody reading that book. It's fantastic, and Hannibal Lecter is an awesome villain because he knows he's a villain, but he's also very intelligent, and I do enjoy my villains intelligent. So I'm just going to move to Veronica. Veronica, do you have a villain, a favorite villain that you want to put up?
Not necessarily the best villain, I'd say, but the one that I always enjoy and I've enjoyed in multiple incarnations. I've always enjoyed Harley Quinn.
Oh. Yes.
Oh, but no.
And I know she's annoying. I love the voice, but you know,
I love the voice.
But the reason that I really, really loved her is after I was playing Arkham Asylum and then I went into Arkham City and just she's horrific because not only does she really believe what she's doing is right, she's doing it because she's got this very, very blinded commitment to someone who's even crazier than she is. And she'll do anything.
Have you had a chance to try the downloadable content chapter they added to Arkham City?
I have not yet.
How do you say this without spoilers? Harley, if you know the end of Arkham City, Harley has a major point to play in the DLC where she sort of takes over and goes after Batman by herself with the thugs. And it's teasing me. I need Xbox Live first, but wow, I need to play this.
Harley is fantastic. I absolutely loved her. She is such an amazing character because she was introduced in the animated series. And because she was so awesome, they put her in the comics. I think that Harley Quinn is by far one of the best villains because she's, again, intelligent, because she's crazy, and because she's blindly devoted to someone who is crazier than she is, and because, yes, and she's hot, sorry. typing in, she's hot. And the thing is, Mr. J really does not care about her the way that she does about him, but that doesn't matter.
Well, that's the most engaging... That's the most engaging thing about her is that, you know, of all the villains that we've discussed, I think she might be the only one who's in love, and not only which endears her to everybody, but also that it's unrequited love, which makes her even more a sympathetic villain. It really is a marvelous choice from the writers and Veronica. Yeah, absolutely. She's a great villain for all those reasons, just because you can engage with her so readily.
And let's not forget that Kevin Smith named his daughter after her.
I was going to mention that. I was also going to mention when you mentioned the Joker and his the unrequited love aspect. The Joker's a perfect example of a villain that doesn't seem to have a capacity for love at all. But there's those little tiny moments when you can be convinced that he really does care about her. He just doesn't want to admit it because it would ruin his image.
Yep. We've got in the chat people discussing that all of the characters from Song of Ice and Fire, a.k.a. A Game of Thrones, would make great villains because nobody is truly black. And then Kay amends it by saying, no, George R.R. Martin is the villain in that series.
Yes, every time you ask him to write faster, a Stark dies.
Exactly. I am going to close this up by throwing out my favorite villain. Now, I could pick Darth Vader, which is who I thought Kay was going to pick, and I'm sure many people's first villain was. I could pick a multitude of people.
I don't see him as a villain. I disagree that Darth Vader is a villain. He's a sweetheart. He's just misunderstood. I'm just gonna have to go.
Order 66 was a typo. They meant to give out Order 66.
That was all Palpatine. You can't blame that on Vader. That was all Palpatine. Oh my God.
He stopped being a valid villain to me when he got all emo.
I have more evil people on this call than we've actually mentioned.
Underneath that helmet is a hairdo that goes over one of his eyes and is tipped in purple.
So I would be remiss if my choice for favorite villain, and you might want to cover your ears on, okay, or type, his helmet. Why don't you just say it? And his helmet,
I didn't want to interrupt you.
Say it then. You're interrupting me.
No, I'm not done typing.
Oh my God. And his helmet blast nonstop loop of My Chemical Romance. Okay. Now, I would be remiss if I did not put as my favorite villain, the villain of all villains, the villain to make a franchise's best movie, but Khan! It's Ricardo Montalban. He's got style. He's got grace. He's got class. He can beat up Captain Kirk. And,
he's got rich Corinthian leather.
He has rich Corinthian leather. Exactly.
They asked a Chrysler exec about that. And they said, what exactly is Corinthian leather? And the answer was, we don't know. But damn, didn't it sound good when Ricardo Montalban said that on the commercial.
Yes, Khan, not only was he great in the Star Trek series, the original series episode where he takes over the ship by reading a manual, or the movie where, you know, he puts worms into Chekhov's ear and kills everybody, and he's awesome, and he's got that chest and everything. But if you read the books that involve Khan, they're amazing. And if you read, there's especially one of the Gary Seven books where he goes back and he meets young Khan. Oh, it's just fantastic. And again, brilliant. His intelligence, I would say, trumps most of the other intelligent villains. I think that his minions would be Hannibal Lecter, Moriarty, and Harley Quinn.
I don't know. I put him on par.
Even though Moriarty
is the prototypical genius villain.
Yeah, but he's not genetically enhanced.
Yeah. See, if we're going in the realm of the Star Trek universe, Moriarty as a holographic fictitious character took over the ship.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure Khan couldn't do that.
Wait, but Khan did do that. He read the manual.
Yeah, but he didn't. But Khan existed.
Yeah, not as a hologram. He didn't do it.
He took over the original. You know, not the D, which I'm sure has been upgraded.
Yes.
Yeah, but he found the back door through Windows 7 that they were running on. Damn you, Windows 98.
So I want to see an outtake from Wrath of Khan with George Takei going, the plane.
So one last thing, I'm going to have everybody chime in. The villain that you chose, if you were to take your villain out of their standard setting. For instance, if we had chosen Voldemort, if you take him out of the wizarding world and put him into real life or into Star Trek, would they still be a great villain? Because I know that Voldemort is still bad. I can't say that word. He is still awesomely bad, but he wouldn't have magic. So I don't think he'd be as powerful and as great a villain. So if you took your character and put him in another setting, would he be as awesome? I'm going to say Khan would be. Tech?
Every world has corporate greed and the human need to be one better than the other. So global superpowers will exist. So yeah, Siegfried will exist everywhere. He'll find a corporation somewhere and he'll be himself again. And he'll try to find his own Mexweltschmatt.
So Siegfried runs public relations for the Imperial Army?
This is chaos. We don't have an Imperial Army here.
You know what I mean. Mm.
What about all the worlds that don't have corporations, like the fantasy world?
I'm sure he would found one, or he would work public relations for a kingdom somewhere.
Okay, FaZe.
Don't need to debate, because Scorpius did come to Earth. We've seen what he's like outside of his own world.
That's true. And he was still even. Scorpius did. He came to Earth. Good point. Awesome. Okay, Bob. Spike, I'm going to answer for you. I would think that Spike would be a villain and awesome in any world. Your thoughts?
I would think so. He just needs, you know, to still be a vampire and to still have darkness available. So he does need certain living conditions.
And rock and roll.
I would like to mention that since Vader was mentioned, my nephew's first experience with villains, when he was 9, he saw me and he said, "You have Darth Vader on your t-shirt," and was really shocked and thrilled by this.
My uncle's cool. All right, Chris.
One of the things about Spike, though, is that he would still need to be a vampire, because Spike, before he was a vampire, was sweet.
Yes, he would need to be a vampire.
So there's certain conditions that do need to port over.
His love was a
And in Nuke's example in the beginning was that Voldemort could be transported to another world but not have his magic. Well, I mean, you're changing the character then, in my opinion, but if you're just porting over, then Spike wouldn't be a vampire.
Mm. All right, so if Spike's a vampire, he's a great villain. If the world doesn't have vampires, he sucks.
My problem is I think that your scenario, Nuke, is flawed, not the villains. They're perfect.
Okay. Chris, what about your villain?
Well, it would depend on if Q still had his powers or not. If he didn't have his powers, he's just a whiny old guy.
They did that episode.
There was an episode, a whiny old guy with an IQ of 5,000.
True. The Borg, they would still be scary just watching them walk down the street, even if they couldn't, if they were somehow still able to be functioning.
Okay.
I just had a thought of, all of a sudden, a villain of a different sort. The whiny old guy with a massive IQ, Dr. House?
It's not lupus.
Actually, the one occasion in season 5 where it was lupus.
Oh my. Okay, Dave, and your villain? Would he exist out of his normal environment?
Oh, absolutely. The Marquise de Mertuis, her superpower was the ability to twist desire and passion to her own ends. And as long as there are people together, as long as there's culture and society, she would maneuver like a shark feeding on small fish. So, absolutely.
And I do want to credit, if you notice, I think the only female villains that were mentioned was the Marquise and Harley Quinn, so...
What about the one you wanted to mention of female villains?
Who did I want to
Maleficent.
Oh, how did I... Yeah, I have to give honorable mention to Maleficent and Ursula the Sea Witch. Two Disney villains, but they are awesome. Maleficent turns into a dragon, and the Sea Witch is just amazing in everything she does.
I was originally going to go with Cruella de Vil.
Oh, she's a good one, too.
I mean, her name is cruel.
Wait, wasn't she played by Glenn Close?
Yeah, wasn't that also Glenn Close?
Yes.
The only good thing about the live-action 101 Dalmatians was Glenn Close as Cruella de Vil.
Yes,
with actual Borg wandering around down the street, all you'd get it is a, whoa, dude, great cosplay.
whoever just said yes, the hair, could you record a promo for Gatecast? I want a voice that deep.
Drop me a line, but I'll totally lay that down.
Dave's
for you.
Dave's got a great deep voice. All right, Kay, your villain outside. Will he work?
Just on the other subject of female characters, specifically in a lot of the Disney or kid related movies. Enchanted had a great one.
Yeah.
Pretty much through and through, Disney does know how to do My Children Are Present, The Witch, really well. And really, just watching a lot of those movies, it really comes out strong and just really delightfully evil.
Actually, now that you mention it, Disney likes to kill off parents and make their villains female.
Mm.
Interesting. Mm. Interesting.
And then there was also, what was it, 10th Kingdom or something, Susan Sarandon.
Yes.
Had an awesome, I don't know what she was, Enchantress.
Yes. Well, and I guess. That show, Once Upon a Time, I really do like their evil witch, too, or the evil queen.
She's... But to get back, sorry.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just.
But to get back to your question, I don't, again, if you take my character out of his environment, I mean, he's a god. It doesn't quite port well if you take that power away. He doesn't exist.
True. Although, technically, in any world that has a concept of
an evil god?
Yeah, of a hell or something like that, he would exist, so he would be kind of awesome.
Yeah. And if he's still played by Tim Curry, then we're okay.
Yeah, anybody played by Tim Curry is an awesome villain, even when he played King Arthur in Spamalot. we've got a note here from Dave Robeson. A villain's name is important. I think a villain's name is as important as his evil laugh. Mm. Another honorable
it's about
mention.
Standards.
It's about standards. Another honorable mention that we need to say that had come up in the chat quite a bit was Bad Horse, of course, a great villain. And Shane, who's having some audio problems, his answer for the Master is the Master would work in the real world. A would-be conqueror. The Master wants to control the universe that would always work well in America has one right now. I'm not getting into politics.
I was just waiting for you to stumble on that one.
Don't read that. No. My attempt at subtlety has failed. I'm not a good villain.
Can I throw an honorable mention since Nutty's an honorary Canadian? I assume she's seen this show. Kugami from Continuum.
I haven't seen
it. A wonderful turn from Tony Amendola. Has anyone seen it?
No. Nope. I haven't started watching that one yet because I was working shift, so I didn't get to start, and I'm going to wait for the season to be done.
It's just started on Sci-Fi UK.
All right, so Serial Killer Hannibal Lecter outside of his world.
If you put him in the world of Star Trek, he's just going to tell you what a Vulcan's liver tastes like. I think he would work incredibly well because it's entirely based on his psychology, his own mentality, his intellect. They're what drives him as a villain. That's classic and timeless. You can put that type of person into any setting. He would be equally comfortable feeding on Vulcans or Lannisters or Care Bears. I don't think he would care. As long as he had a good Chianti and some fava beans, he would be fine. And my honorable mention, yes, I can't make the noise. My honorable mention would go to Jerry O'Connell for his role in My Secret Identity for destroying the ozone layer.
Okay, and Kay's daughter has a vote for favorite villain. She's been listening. She's, what, 7? But you know what? She also wants to grow up to be the Queen of the Sith, so oddly it doesn't disturb me. So, Kay, what's her vote?
Well, her vote is actually for a character from My Little Pony called Discord. And if you've ever seen Friendship is Magic as many times as I have, and you can still enjoy Discord, it's actually a really good villain. His entire purpose is to break apart the ponies and get them all fighting with each other. And he does so through chaos. And just, it's awesome. It really is a great villain all in the world of My Little Pony.
And as I pointed out in the chat, it is the John DeLancey is the voice of Discord.
Yes.
So we and now know that it's cute. If he went into the My Little Pony world, he would be a great villain.
It really is very similar. Basically, he does all sorts of things to create havoc around him. It's awesome.
And he has a great name.
Yes.
Can I see the episode where he summons the Borg to Equestria? That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome.
Honey, we need to talk about the fact that you know the My Little Pony's homeworld name.
I read part of a review online. I am not a fan.
Sure. We believe you. Billions wouldn't.
You're such a brony. Okay, so Veronica, Harley Quinn outside of her element. I'm going to say crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy does.
Yeah, I think so.
yeah, she's awesome. I suddenly have an urge to watch My Little Pony. First Google Plus, now I've had Brony's thoughts. This podcast is the real villain.
It is.
And as Jane said, we forgot Norman Bates. So that concludes this nutty debate. There are a lot of awesome villains. Please contact us. Let us know, who do you think your favorite villain is? You can send an email to nuttybites@nimlast.org. You can leave a comment on the blog at nimlast.org. You can call 347-NUTTY-42, or you can leave it on the Facebook group. Just do a search for Mixed Nutcases, and I will add you. Thank you, everyone, and I'm just going to go around and let everyone in the panel pimp their stuff. FaZe, pimp.
www.gaycast.co.uk. Recent record episode 153, released episode 150. We're on Facebook as The Gatecast. We're on Google Plus as The Gatecast. We're on Twitter as @TheGatecast. And we're shortly moving hosts, so we may be offline for a couple of days, but then we should be back on iTunes because GoDaddy is the evil, the real villain of this piece.
Okay, Bob.
Hi, I do a Dexter podcast, the DexterCast. We're at thedextercast.com. We're on Facebook, we're on iTunes, or thedextercast@gmail.com for feedback. Two of the four of us have seen Dexter before, and the other two are watching for the first time.
And it's awesome. And reminding me how much I like Dexter. Chris?
I do several different podcasts, but I think I'll just mention patiomediachat.com today.
Excellent. Dave?
I am my handsome co-host, Brian Humphrey, host the Roundtable podcast, where we invite writers to come on the show and workshop story ideas to us and an esteemed guest host from the authorial or editorial community. You can find us at roundtablepodcast.com. We are on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter at Writers Podcast. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/roundtablepodcast. And that's pretty much the sum of it. And we're always looking for writers to come on the show to pitch story ideas. We've been having a blast. We just recorded episode 35 with Adam Christopher yesterday. And we got an interview with Patrick Rothfuss coming out this week. It'll drop Monday, September 24th.
Excellent. And Kay, do you have anything to pimp? Or do you just want to give us your Twitter?
No, I'm just a participant. I don't need to. I can make it sound like, I don't need to exchange here, but I really don't have anything. I am on Twitter, but I don't know how much of interest that is to anyone. So, no.
Okay. And Shane, I don't know if we can hear you yet. I can pimp for you if you want. All right, I'm going to pimp for Shane. Shane Poole, he has the Red Dwarf Introcast podcast. They are doing much like Bob is with Dexter, but with the series Red Dwarf, where two of them have seen the series, and the other two are brand new to the series. You can find them on Patio Bean. No, is it Patio Bean? I don't know. Search Red Dwarf Introcast, you'll find it. He is on iTunes. You can search Red Dwarf Introcast, or you can check the show notes, because I will have a link to it there, as I have been a guest star on their show, and Tech will be a guest star on their show coming up. Please give it a listen. Okay, Serial Killer.
I run a daily YouTube rambling that is about 3 to 5 minutes of me just saying whatever the heck is on my brain at the time, that has been described by one reviewer, my father, as being a vanity project and being extremely narcissistic. And that's youtube.com, The Serial Killer. And yeah,
I disagree.
That's about the quality you'll get with it, because I'm a one-take wonder, and I'm unabashedly so.
It's fun. It's especially funny, especially the episode where I was calling you as you were recording and you left it in there. Okay, Veronica, pimp away.
Okay, I guess the main podcast is The Secret World Chronicle, a podcast novel series written by Mercedes Lackey Dennisley, Cody Martin, and me, Veronica Jaguer. You can find it at www.secretworldchronicle.com, also at Patio Books. You can also find me as the voice of Jill Woodbine at HG World, which is 3015north.podbean.com. And come on, this is villains. Chris Morse isn't here, but if you love supervillains, you should be totally checking out the Parsec-winning Supervillain Corner at supervillaincorner.podbean.com.
Absolutely.
I love your villain. The latest episode with your villain on it was cracking me up. I can't remember what the line was, but we were driving to Nova Scotia and just Tech and I just burst out laughing. I can't remember what it was, but it was awesome. So yes, please check that out. So thank you, everyone. Oh, by the way, Shane... Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I'll get to you. Uh-huh. My bad. Shane wanted me to give the actual website. It is theredwarfpodcast.podiobean.com. See, I knew it was Podio Bean. Okay, Podbean. Tech, Podbean, sorry. Tech, pimp away. I suck at this.
Hi, I'm Tech. I fix guns for a living for the Army, and I'm a grown-up geek who spent way too many times in my life reading physics books and ballistics books. So this is what I do now. I guest at nimlast.org/blog. Go through there. You'll see all my posts where I write about physics and ballistics and things on Mars and guns and things I find cool. And then I post videos of me trying to do things I saw in cartoons once and wanted to know if it's real. So I have fun with physics. Pay attention to NaNoWriMo. I'm going to try something weird. I'm going to write a nonfiction book about soldiers on Mars. Yeah, I said it. Anyway, it's going to happen. It'll be cool.
Excellent. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining the first Nutty Debate on a Google Hangout, which is a surprising success. I do apologize that everybody got an email. I'm going to have to figure out how not to have the event send emails, because that's kind of annoying. But I got a lot of people here, so thank you, everyone. And try to join us next time. Thank you. Bye. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 The myths of a thousand worlds tell of a time when darkness enveloped the galaxy, an age before the coming of the fifth race. Tales and legends of gods that could crush worlds but with a gesture, and vast armies to enslave the free peoples of our realms. Armies whose existence spanned hundreds of generations, yet long gone. And we ask ourselves, what if these myths have a kernel of truth? One thing is known, those who now claim to be descended from the fifth race are not eager to look back into the darkness, but events have conspired against them, as long-lost worlds outside of the gate systems have been discovered. The first artifacts and data have been studied, and now is the time for the true story to be told. These are the people of the fifth race, before they became saviors of the galaxy. Watch, listen, and comprehend. Then spread the lessons we learn from the people of the Earth and its Stargate Command. Engage the translation matrix.
Matrix ready. Input search phrase.
Gatecast, a Stargate podcast.
Gatecast implemented. Translation and interpretation engaged for Stargate Archives. Audio format.
Enhance, please.
Gatecast additional data located. Gatecast.co.uk. Also under the headings Facebook, Google+, Twitter, and iTunes.
Gatecast. By fans, for fans. Stargate forever.
Kay's daughter stole her cam. But that's okay, Kay, because we get to look at my artwork, so that's it. Is Q a villain? That's it.
A foil?
Well, we'll save it for the debate. Save it for the debate. Dave types very loudly.
I'm sorry. I will mute as I type in the future. Sorry about that.
Just letting you know. That's why it's so loud. He was typing in caps.
That's it. As I type in caps, I type in.
That should have been your first suggestion phase.
It's my backup villain. No, my podcast is Stargate. Oh, Gatecast.co.uk.
Sorry.
I thought I'd throw the plug in. No, Ken Batchelder does every other podcast that we all of us don't actually do. Every other podcast on the planet.
It's Robin Bird, Kevin Batchelder, and Tabitha Gray Smith do all the podcasts. Okay. Note to self in editing, drop in Tim Curry saying, "We are all animals." Okay, discuss.
No, I'm sorry.
I don't know if there's anything I have to bleep.
Okay, I have to go take the kids.
Bye.
Bike riding. Bye.
Bye-bye.
I've got a question.
That was a lot of fun.
How do you get those sexy name tags under your video feed?
It's really cool. It's an app called Lower Third. If you go
Lower Third
above your video screen, it's got a bunch of things. Cameraman, YouTube, Google Effects. You go all the way over to Add App, and you can look for Lower Third. That's
awesome. awesome. I am so there.
Yes, Chris Moody pointed that out to me, and it's very helpful.
Did you lose many other people during? Because I dropped out like 5 times when thinking about switching away from Skype.
Shane kept dropping out, and Bob kept dropping out.
Nutty Bites is produced by Nimlas Studios. You can find us at nimlas.org/blog. Contact feedback at nuttybites@nimlas.org. Call our voicemail line at 347-NUTTY-42 or 347-688-8942. This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. Basically, you can share it, you can send it around to your friends, just don't change it, don't sell it, don't try to make any money off of it, and link back to me, my site, and everything.